It's showtime, folks. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Ian Safar on the ones and twos. JoJo, what's going on?
Good morning, buddy. Can you, if you don't mind, changing that intro that I am officially a 10-time gout survivor.
Okay.
As of this morning, so thank you. Thank you to my good friends at Naproxen. I'm feeling a lot better.
Have you?
10 times.
You've now surpassed Rex Road and maybe even Greg Pope. So congratulations.
It's the worst name for a simple pain. And it's just, it is. You tell people you got gout, they're like, oh my God, get away from me. I'm like, it's not contagious. It's better known as the rich man's disease, which I don't know why that applies here, but I survived it. So 10 times. I mark it down. It's been 10 times that I've survived.
Wow.
So.
I will say one of the funniest things you ever said was when I was producing you and Greg was out, and you said Greg Pogue is gout today.
Because he had gout. He was out. So it's terrible, man. But somebody called me a couple years ago and said, look, take Naproxen. It gets rid of it. And by golly, it took care of it overnight.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
Welcome in.
So if I could use a little sympathy today between you and Ian, our producer, it would be much obliged.
We got you. We can do that. The NFL making some rule changes because the owner meetings are going on right now. It looks like they're going to adopt the postseason overtime rule for the regular season. You like that?
I do like that.
So both teams will get an opportunity. It's still 10 minutes. They had originally, said to go back to 15 minutes. Personally, I kind of wish they would do that. I might be in the minority, but I heard Rex Road this morning saying he likes the 10 minutes. I hate the 10 minutes because they have a tie, and I don't think a pro game should ever end in a tie. I am very staunch on that, but, it is what it is.
I like the college rule, 25 going in.
I love the college rule.
No kicking. The only thing I like about the college rule is after the second touchdown, you have to go for two.
Yeah, I hate that, and now they have that stupid two-point contest.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate that.
I think it's the third possession, correct? I think
it is. After the second possession, you have to go for two.
Right.
Like the first possession, you can kick the extra point. So second possession, you score a touchdown, have to go for two. And then after that, it's just 2-point conversions. And I hate that.
I'd like the overtime if they got rid of the kicker and you had to start at the 25 yard line and go in and then score and don't use the kicker. All that.
So are you saying in the NFL, you start at the 25 just like college, or you start at your own 25 and have to march to the field?
100% just like college. I like that. And no kick. If you get 4th and 18 and you're on the 33, you can't kick.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to go for it whole time. I don't know. They'll never figure it out, so they'll screw around with it.
I know. They'll change it every
year. Well, as we talked to Brett Kern, it's to me when they started meddling around – you can't line up over the long snapper anymore. That was because, they're putting his head in the ground. It's football. It's not tennis. The job is to put the guy on his butt every single time. And so when they move that rule out of the way, you can't do that. Well, the long snapper's head, you know what you're getting in for, things that happen like that. So it was just like they'll keep doing this and that and messing around with the game. And so I don't know. Whatever they do, they'll do it. And we have zero say in it.
We have zero say.
Zero.
Zero say. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I know we don't, obviously baseball just started and everything. Have you been keeping up with this whole torpedo bat thing?
I have.
I have zero idea
what you're talking about.
Okay. So the Yankees kind of started this, but basically I guess there's a new bat, and if you look at it, it looks like a torpedo. And Ellie De La Cruz for the Reds had 7 RBI yesterday with the torpedo bat. I mean, they're just raking right now.
Is it fatter?
Well, it's like thin up top and kind of fat in the middle.
And that's what she said.
I can't stand you.
I'm sorry. Well, you set me up.
I put it on a tee for you.
So is it like the old wiffle ball bat when you get the jumbo bat? When the barrel is bigger.
Yeah. Yes.
Trying to get off the subject. So what's the deal with it?
It's legal, and they're hitting a ton of home runs and hits, and It's just what's kind of happening right now.
Major League Baseball has the same problem that football has. There's about eight good teams. Everybody else is mediocre. So they want to keep adding and adding and adding. Okay, yeah, so the barrel's a little bit low. I see the picture now, a little bit larger. Okay, I get it. But I think the talent in baseball is – there's a lot of average people in baseball. So now you're going to see more and more pitching-wise.
But it goes back to that 90s commercial with Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux, and that is chicks dig the long ball.
You'd rather see a 12-9 game or 1-0?
12-9.
Right.
I mean, now, personally, me, I like a good pitcher's duel, but I'm in the minority.
Are you going to a game this weekend?
I am.
Which one?
Brewers and Reds in Milwaukee.
Okay. Brewers and Reds.
So I'll probably see a lot of hitting because De La Cruz is there.
Will you make one of those dumb posts like, I got called up from the sounds?
I won't.
Come on, sure won't. Do it. But that you got called up. Come on. It's the affiliate. Are you seeing just one game or two?
Well, we're doing one in Milwaukee, and then we're going to Chicago, back to Chicago, where Ryan lives, and going to do Cubs and Padres at Wrigley.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah. Padres.
They're pretty good.
Beat your Braves, silly.
Oh, my Braves suck right now.
But Chaser.
They haven't won a game.
The last time the Braves started 0-4?
They won the World Series. I'm aware. So
tough guy.
Look, I'm mad because Profar, the guy that just signed, Profar, I call him. Who is that? Was that that Alabama receiver?
Prothrow?
Prothrow, yeah.
Yeah. That broke his leg, his arm, and his neck on one pass play.
Yeah. He got suspended for 80 games and can't play in the postseason, so that's great.
It's why not the postseason?
I guess because of the rule he broke, PEDs or something.
But he come out. Is he good?
Well, yeah. That's why they signed him in the offseason.
What position he's playing?
He's outfielder.
Now, don't get irritated. These baseball questions. I don't watch baseball.
I'm not getting irritated.
I am not spending a second watching baseball, and I want you to tell me what's going on in Major League Baseball. You and Dr. Crane when he comes back.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm no help on baseball.
Thank you, Ian. That's why you're a good man.
I thought you liked baseball.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy though. When I was a kid, I'd watch 3-hour Braves games. I wouldn't move a muscle.
I used to love baseball growing up more as a kid.
Yeah.
My grandmother watched every Yankees game and used to watch all types of baseball. Maybe it's just because there's no team here, you know, and it's just kind of like, don't have a team to follow anymore.
That could be it. For me, it was the Braves were on TBS all the time. Here's the deal. I'm not searching for you unless you're a missing kid. I am not searching for you a baseball game. I'm not doing it. And that's the thing, is I got to go all the place to find you, and you're not there anymore.
That's the problem. I've been searching for you, and you're just not there.
Right. WGN had the Cubs. TBS had the Braves. To me, Chase McCabe, that grew baseball and my generation more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Braves fan probably because of that. Now, granted, geographically, they're the closest team to Nashville, but – because of TBS, I mean, I grew up on the Braves.
I mean, it was fun back then.
Yeah, and I also am a kid that grew up in the 90s, so that didn't hurt either.
Well, you got to see the good Braves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to see the bad Braves who played in front of – I went to a Braves game one time. They played the Pirates in 86, I think it was. There might have been 600 people in the stands.
The old Atlanta Fulton County
so bad that I sat by the dugout and talked to Pirates pitcher John Smiley the entire game. We were like best friends. I mean, that's how – there was nobody there. They were so bad. But, you know, they got the World Series in 95. They got it for you in 21. So, good.
It's funny. I don't think players are like that anymore. But, like, I remember when I was younger at Sounds games, I'd sit by the dugout and talk to the players.
Yeah.
You know, they'd just be like, "What's up, kid?"
I did.
Because remember at Greer, the bull. Well, and I guess it's that way at First Rising too. But the bullpens are on the field,
yep.
And so you could go sit by the bullpen and just
all night long with them. I did a thing one time. I asked the Sounds if I could mic up their pitching coach, Chris Bozio, whatever his name was, and it was great. Couldn't run the story because the conversation in the dugout was not good for TV. Now, I could have put it on Cinemax, but I could not have put it on local news. And our friend Doug Scope was like, "Hey, how did it go?" I was like, Doug, if I let you listen to 2 minutes of it, you would laugh nonstop and agree this does not go for air, and it wasn't. But they were fun. But, yeah, that was good. I mean, those guys, to me, like I used to work at a Kroger and during college, and Chris Sabo would come in and Rob Dibble at the Kroger in Hickory Hollow, and they were Reds affiliate then. I got to know all those guys. It was fun. I mean, that was a fun time with all that. I'm sure, you know, for this generation, too, if you get to know those guys, it's fun as well.
Max Herr is going to join us at 9:30 today. He is very, very excited about this. He showed up at my house asking if he could come on the show. That's a lie. He didn't really do that. But the animated game tonight, Music City Hockey in Smashville on Channel 5, and Max, of course, a part of that. So he will join us at 9:30 to talk more about that in the process of getting ready for it as the Predators take on Columbus. They fell 2-1 last night to Philadelphia. I mean, is it safe to – like, I never want to say, like, oh, the tank is on, but, I mean, they were officially eliminated from the playoffs. You know, I definitely think guys are going out there and playing, but it's just – let's just get – it's kind of like just see the finish line at this point.
I don't think they're tanking. I just don't think they're good.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. But I mean, you just – you know, I can't imagine what it's like having to go out there and try and play these games.
Right.
It's just like just get me to the end
and
already.
And tonight you're a cartoon.
Yeah. Well, in some ways, it's kind of been that
right,
all year.
It does that. By the way, this is April Fool's Day. We, Chase and I, are on the same page. We're not fans of April Fool's Day because working in this industry for so long, it is single-handedly the worst day in the business.
Oh, yeah, because somebody undoubtedly gets themselves fired every year.
Somebody's already fallen for the Aaron Rodgers tweet this morning how he's retired from the NFL.
Yeah.
And that's been shared, and it's like, come on, don't do this. Don't, not today. So today, like every other day, believe nothing of what you hear and see.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. We are up and running on this Tuesday, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It's Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a wonderful day. The Sounds are back in action this afternoon. Pregame at 2:50 with the first pitch at 3:05 on 94.9 The Fan as they take on the Baby Braves, the Gwinnett Stripers. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Sounds of Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. The NFL, a lot of rules changes. I guess not a lot, but some rules changes coming out of Florida with the owners' meetings. Diana Rossini putting this out there on Twitter. Kicking updates. Per source, the NFL's onside kick amendment will be adjusted and voted on later in May. Touchbacks on kickoffs will now bring the ball to the 35-yard line.
So they want to get kickoffs, rid of them, and then they keep making rule changes.
They want to kind of bring them back and have more returns, but they're trying to like make them safer.
How are you making that safer?
Because I guess in their mind, because you can't move until the guy actually catches the ball,
right?
And so they're thinking you're not going to have as much momentum on the returns now.
Okay,
which I kind of get that. That makes sense, but they're still trying to set it up for more returns.
Okay, so if you.
Touchbacks go out to the 35 now.
All right, you got to get your kicker to place between the 20 and the 1, right? Between the 1 and the 20, because that's something line up on the 20 or the 25, whatever they line up.
The landing zone, something like that. Yeah.
They've made it so confusing, you know, and it's football.
But, okay, so if it goes in the end zone, you catch it in the end zone, you can still knee it and take the touchback, right?
Yep, that goes to the 35 now.
Yeah.
Not the
30. I mean, there's no – what's the incentive in trying to return it?
Zero. Yeah, so now you've got to get your kicker. I've always thought, why doesn't a kicker, they're so good, kick it sky high and land it at the 10-yard line?
But you know what this has done, though, is
they're trying to encourage more returns.
Right.
But isn't that more what they talk about, more injuries happen on returns?
Right, but because they've changed the rule where used to be, like, as soon as the ball hits the kicker's foot, you can take off.
Right.
The gunners can take off. Everybody can take off. Now you have to wait until it's actually caught.
I know that. That's the new rule.
And so that's part of the okay, that they can reduce injuries that way. But here's the thing they've absolutely ruined, and they're gonna supposedly look at this in May. It's pointless to try an onside kick. Like onside kicks are like they don't work anymore because you can't move. You can't move until.
Don't you got to tell them before?
You got to announce it. Like, I go back to, and again, we've talked about the ego of the NFL, that they don't want to adopt a rule from another place. But the XFL or the UFL or whatever, just make it a 4th and 15. Just basically say you get one down to go 15 yards, and if you get it, then it's a first down and you keep possession.
You don't like it. I don't.
Why?
The only problem I see with that is penalties. Like illegal contact on an onside kick on 4th and 15, you get the ball.
Right. Yeah. No, I just – you don't take away – we keep moving this game back and forth. Look, kick the ball. You scored. It's time you give – I get the ball. You scored, give me the ball. Give me the ball.
Well, no. I mean, you have to be able to have an onside kick or something.
Okay, try onside kick.
Well, then make it the old onside kick.
I totally agree.
This new onside kick doesn't work. It's pointless.
Well, and also pointless too. And Jeff Fisher was on the rules committee when this happened. You can't overload one side. You used to put 7 guys on one side. Now you can't put more than 4 or 5 or some stupid rule. I'd put 9 guys over there. Have a kicker and one guy fall back as a safety. You can't do that. So they've made all these rule changes, which really did not help the game going forward. And now you get, I think it might be 5 guys on one side. I think it's all you get. And you just telegraph it, and it's terrible. There was a coach in college, and this was years ago, who had a kicker so good that was on onside kicks in college. He'd have his kicker send just a shot to the up guy, to the guy on the 10 yards away. Guy's not catching that. Bounce off of him. And the ball. So if the guy misses it, it's still a squib kick down the road, down the field. But they're making all, these changes. I don't think it's helping the game any at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they are changing a lot. That is for sure. So let's see more from Russini. The Lions' proposal to eliminate automatic first downs on defensive holding and illegal contact penalties did not pass, per source.
Of course,
that was never going to.
Nope.
Expanded replay assist has also been approved. So basically what that means is if there's a penalty that could be picked up, then whether it's a hold or something, like maybe not a hold, but something, the replay official can look at it and tell the ref, like, you missed that one. Pick it up.
Oh, my gosh.
So
okay.
I'm okay with that.
Does somebody buzz down?
Yeah. And it's usually pretty quick. Like, right. I'm okay with that. Like, it's not a full-on review. It's just you got a guy that's watching it. Like, nah, it's kind of the eye in the sky thing.
Can I tell you what's going to happen in 10 years?
Hmm.
There's going to be 2 refs on the field. And it's all going to be AI.
Yeah.
They're going to make the call. The ref will place the ball, talk to him, challenge things.
Kind of like baseball is doing with the automatic balls and strikes.
They'll do that. They'll get rid of all that and have somebody – and which, you know, I don't know. Part of the fun of the game is you hate it. It's a – you know, mistakes are made, refs are human, and all that goes on. But I see the other side where you want things to be accurate. Like if you go back to the New Orleans and what was the egregious – Rams.
Yeah.
Pass interference call in 2018. Rams would have gone – Saints would have gone the Super Bowl. I mean, is that affected by this? Can you change that?
I don't know. The one that's going to be interesting to watch today is Russini tweets, the story of the morning here in Florida is the future of the tush push, with owners expected to vote on it today. However, there is some chatter that this could get tabled and there won't be a vote on it at all today. We'll see. I mean, look, I don't know how you feel. I don't think they should ban it. I think if you don't like something, then figure out a way to stop it. You know, all these teams want to get rid of it and are pissed off about it because one team does it better than everybody else. And it's like, if you don't like it, then figure out a way to stop it.
So how do you call if Chase McCabe takes a sweep to the right, gets 5 yards, gets stood up, you're still grinding, and then your linemen come over and push you another 5 yards? Is that restricted too as well? Because it should be. That's a push. You see it all the time. When a guy gets stood up at the 4-yard line and the big uglies come and shove him into the end zone.
Yeah.
Is that should be illegal. If you're making the tush push illegal, that's illegal too.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is, I always laugh at this. And look, I know that they do care about safety, but it's a very easy argument to hide behind when you don't like something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for instance, you know, they'll be like, well, the quarterback can get hurt on that play. Well, quarterback's been, you know, Kelly Holcomb's been on here talking about how much he hated the QB sneak because quarterbacks would get hurt on the QB sneak
all
the time. I mean, like, it's newsflash, it's kind of a violent game. You know, you can get hurt on any play.
It is.
So it don't hide behind, oh, well, it's safety. It's a safety thing. Just because, again, one team does it better than you. And the Eagles have done it better than anybody else. And 31 other teams are pissed off about it. And it's just like, if you don't like it, stop it. It's kind of like running up the score in pro sports. Like, you know, you want to do something about it, then go out there and stop it.
What's the success rate on the tush push? Like 98%?
I don't know if it's that, but I mean, I know the Eagles, it's been pretty good.
It's pretty
but they're
good
the
for
only
a lot of teams.
But they're the team that seems to be, you know,
they started it.
Yeah. But I don't know how many other teams are running it.
Well, I'm sure it's in everybody's playbook.
Did the Titans run it last year with Levis?
Probably.
I think they did, actually.
Well, I thought people would take over. Remember, I think, what game was it that where the a punt team and the guy would run down the line of scrimmage, and right when it snapped, he'd cut up the field? Isn't that how Stonehouse got hurt? Something like that. I mean, it was one of the – I don't remember if that was Stonehouse injury guy. I know he had a punt block that way. The guy runs down the line of scrimmage and then cuts up and does – why don't you ban that? I mean, that's, you know, getting a punter crunched on that. Just stop messing with the game. This is not hurting the game. It's a tush push. You want to stop it, like you said.
Steven in Hendersonville says – the tush push absolutely needs to be banned for the simple fact the NFL has rules against the defense and special teams players pushing teammates.
I'm with him. That's it. If you're going to outlaw it all the way down, not just a tush push.
I don't know. talking about April Fools earlier, Justin and Greenbrier, I remember this. Last year, I was listening to the Midday Show, and D-Mace made the announcement he was coming out of retirement to try out for the Cats. I fell for it hook, line, and sinker, mostly because I forgot it was April 1st. It was funny when he finally got everyone at the end of the show.
I don't remember that.
I remember that.
I think
Fisher called in, too, I think, on that. That was pretty funny. But like we said, we don't partake.
So basically, the only thing that's happened now, they've moved the kickoff to the back to the touchback back to the 35,
and you got more replay assists. So, I'm okay with that because half the time they get it wrong.
They need to do a better job of that in college basketball.
Yeah,
the eye in the sky replay assists. Some of those are way too easy to take that long.
I agree. I was watching,
especially in the tournament. What else? There's no other games,
right? Watching the Tennessee and Houston game the other day, I mean, there were some calls that went both teams' ways that I'm watching, and you just hear all the commentators go, yeah, that wasn't a foul.
Fouls I get, but the out-of-bounds ones, the eye in the sky needs to be there for much quicker.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
Yep.
Coming up next, we'll tell you more about the animated game tonight. Music City Hockey in Smashville, Max Herz will join us and discuss that. It's Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Tuesday. How appropriate. From the animated film Toy Stories, we talk about an animated hockey game. We bring in our man Max Herz, who will be on the call for that game tonight. Hello, Max. How you doing?
Morning, guys. I'm great. I'm ready to get animated tonight.
You get animated during these games, so it's only fitting to turn you into a cartoon. I've seen the previews for this. Music City Hockey in Smashville. It'll be on News Channel 5 tonight at 6 o'clock as the Predators take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I know that you and Chris Mason are going to be a part of this and kind of have done some prep for it. Kind of take us through this process because it's pretty cool, the technology that's available.
It's incredible. The NHL and the two companies that it partners with to do these animated broadcasts, they've made an entire animated version of Smashville. And it has all the Broadway landmarks. It has the Batman building. It has Tootsie's. It has the Ryman. It has the arena. And then there will be an outdoor rink where the game is taking place between the Preds and the Blue Jackets. And we'll be watching the game in cartoon form, but we'll also be bouncing around all the different landmarks, the Country Music Hall of Fame, the Bluebird Cafe, Exit Inn. We will be going on a paleontological dig for Nash's ancestors, where the Predators both discovered. We're going to be doing a lot of fun stuff, and the game is part of it, but there's so much fun going on around it. So getting used to the world, getting to learn everything that they've made for us. There's also tons of footage with our players talking about topics that are important to kids, and some of them even include some of the players' kids playing hockey in the videos. So it's going to be nonstop fun for 2.5, 3 hours starting at 6 o'clock tonight. And, you know, Mason and I are going to have fun with it, and we hope that fun is really contagious and infectious.
Well, I could already tell you were having fun because in the promos you're dancing, so I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, we've made some new ones, too. Most of it will be done live. We taped a few things yesterday with our characters. We're in the virtual reality headset, and they have dropped us all over the set, and we're up there doing funny stuff. We're on top of the Batman building. We're out there on a skating rink with some of our fans who are puck people, which are just ridiculous, goofy icons in the background. So we're all over the place, and it's really funky and fun.
So Max Herz is with us on the show today. So you're going to call it like a regular game, right?
Not really. There'll be some moments where we're doing play-by-play, but the majority of it will be conversations about who our players are, what hockey is, specifics of hockey, rules of hockey in a way that kids can understand, and also talking about the city, the country music stars who are in it along with us. And there will be moments where we announce it like a normal game, but I think it'll be a lot less with so much else going on.
So I am thoroughly confused now. So you're kind of calling it, but you're not.
Yeah, the main attraction is the city and all of the other things that are built into it while there's a game going on.
That's kind of cool. Did you get to practice doing this? Because I think it would require a little bit like, all right, let me see what we're doing here.
Yeah, we practiced a full period a couple of times. We were up here in New York at the NHL studios where all of these broadcasts come from. We were here a couple of weeks ago, and then yesterday we got to practice again, and we got to see a lot more of our final elements and video cutaways that are now finished. So we've got a lot of that under our belt now. I think a lot of it, though, the best stuff will come out of our mouths when it's live for the first time. And C-Mace and I kind of talk like this anyway, talk in puns and in jokes and mess around too much. So I think the best stuff will come organically, and I think we both have a lot that we want to say. And the game will be what directs us. But like I said, the game isn't everything. But, I mean, when we score, we're going to ham it up. We're going to play Tim McGraw. We're going to teach the goal song. So it all centers around the game, but we're not going to run out of things to talk about in Cartoon Smashville.
I think it's very cool. I mean, it's an honor, right, to call a game, but to do something like this, which is new and nobody's really done this before, I think it's a very cool thing to be a part of, Max.
Yeah, we're one of the first teams to do this on a local broadcast. We are also the first ones to have it on television. Everyone else who has done this, it's only been streaming. So to have it on Channel 5, to have it on a network channel on CBS in Nashville is unbelievable. And it will also stream both locally and nationwide, NHL.com/Music City Hockey. And after the game tomorrow, it will go on YouTube for kids and families to go back and watch forever all of it or bits and pieces as much as they want. So that's what's so fun about this is it's not going to go away. We have this world now, and these are clips and plays and goals that the Preds can use forever to help teach our fans about the team, the city, and hockey. So it's perfect the way the NHL has set us up for this. They've done incredible work. The people from the Preds who have worked on this as well have done an incredible job showing the NHL, hey, here's what we want this to look like for Smashville. And the NHL has reciprocated and given us something incredible to take off with.
Well, Max, I know this is exciting. And you know, I think to bring in a younger audience is something that the NHL needs to do. And also, I mean, look, it's no secret this hasn't been a fun year for the Predators. It's probably a nice, literal escape from reality.
Yeah, it is. Mason and I are negotiating to stay in Cartoon Land forever. We love it so much. So I think maybe we'll be good fits there. But, yeah, maybe we'll come back to the real world. We'll see. It's been so much fun getting to do this. It's a big crew of people that's a part of it. And the fact that it's on April Fool's Day is so funny because I haven't been able to convince everyone that this is a real thing since it's on April Fool's Day, and it's so ridiculous.
Right.
So I think once it hits the air, everyone will hopefully believe me. But, yeah, it's like, oh, I'm going to be a cartoon. Oh, cool. When is it? April Fool's Day. Oh, okay, you're messing with me. But, no, it's real. it's here, it's tonight, it's going to happen, and we think everyone's going to enjoy it regardless of how old you are. There's stuff in there for everybody, and it's a whole new way to watch the Preds.
So what if tonight, and I hope this happens, there's just this massive brawl on the ice? I mean, we get to see that? Is it an animation?
I don't think it, I think it would just be a clump of players is what would end up.
I want this to really happen now, man.
Yeah, well, Mace and I and our VR characters were throwing some haymakers at each other that weren't quite landing. But, yeah, I think with the players, when they're scrums around the net and things like that, they just kind of bunch up. But, yeah, that did happen in one of the other – the Bruins did one. That happened in their game, and I don't think you were really able to see the details of the fight. Not because they didn't want to show it, per se, but I think just because the animation of the arms doesn't necessarily go to that level. It's more about shooting and passing.
Oh, this is great, man. I can't wait to watch tonight.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So just so people know, Max and Chris Mason will be doing the animated game on News Channel 5 starting at 6. Hal shifts to TV with Willie D, and then Pete goes solo on radio, correct?
Yeah, same as last night in Philly. And Mace and I will be back in the real world on Thursday in Dallas for the final game of the trip. So it's a multi-platform week. But yeah, tonight's the big night. Channel 5, Nashville CBS at 6 o'clock. The game starts a little bit after that. Make sure you're there in time. We got some fun stuff coming right at the beginning of the broadcast. We'll have the whole game for you. We'll have full intermissions with Wayne D and Nash doing tons of fun stuff with our players. And then we'll see if the Preds can pull one out for all the crazy fans in Cartoon Smashville.
Looking forward to it, Max. And just it's crazy to think there's about 3 weeks left in the season, and then it's kind of onward and upward after that. Four more home games at Bridgestone Arena starting this Sunday. Thanks, Max. Appreciate it.
Yeah, guys, thank you for having me. Thanks for watching. And anybody who has questions about it can feel free to tweet me before, during, or after. Or if you're watching, send us a picture of your family. Let us know where you're watching from. We want to spread the love.
Absolutely. We'll do it. Thanks, Max.
Thanks, guys.
Max Herz, Predators Radio Network. And tonight we'll be doing a little TV with the animated game on News Channel 5 starting at 6 o'clock. And, you know, including tonight's game, Joe, there's 8 games left.
Wow.
In the Predator season.
Can we do a quick question when we come back?
Sure.
What do you think is the greatest animated film of all time? Don't answer.
It's a good question. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Tuesday. You talk about animated films. If you had a child probably, I don't know, what, 15 years ago, something like that?
Right.
You heard this song quite a bit.
Oh. That's why we walked in like, what song can we play coming back? I mean, I'm like, how about the song from Shrek? Because that was played a billion times.
So your question was the greatest animated film of all time?
Yeah, well, it's the one that you thought was the best. Is that me? Okay. All right. Thanks. Good job, Joe. Good Lord.
It happens at least once a week.
At least.
Man, it's such a tough question.
That's not me. It's me. It's over here phone. On this one. Good Lord. I'm like, pitch hitting for Pedro Bourbon, Manny Moto, Moto. God, I'm sorry.
Toy Story is probably my favorite, the original Toy Story.
I think Toy Story, you retire to the rafters.
Yeah.
That's number one for all. And that's the main one. To me, when I first saw Up, I was like, this is terrible. This is a terrible movie. Then she dies at the beginning, and you're like, this is terrible. I'm not watching this. And I'm telling you, man, that is the most emotional swing movie I've ever seen in my life, because you're like, oh, this is not a good, oh, she dies. And then the story afterwards is just amazing. And to me, Up is number one. After we retired Toy Story to the rafters, Up is the one.
Up's a good one.
It's a good one. It's a heart wrencher.
What about you?
For sure. You know what? You know, I have a 5-year-old. Almost 6, a 3-year-old. We live on Disney Plus, you know, so we've got all the Disney movies pretty much memorized and down. So we like, those are all good. It's hard to pick one, you know, as a kid in the 90s, Aladdin, Lion King was really popular. Good, yeah. Aladdin and Lion King were the two big animated Disney ones. But one that really sticks out, it's a little off the wall for me that I used to really watch, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
That is
It's a little half and half.
Yeah.
I used to watch that one a lot
as a
kid.
That's
late
a good one.
'80s movie that came out Yeah. Bob Hoskins. That's his
name. I was born in '83, so that was like right around there.
Bob Hoskins.
What? So is it kind of cool for you, for your kids now, to watch, like with Disney Plus, to watch movies that you watched when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, for sure. I haven't experienced that yet, but
yeah,
a lot
of cool
my friends
to go back and, you know, watch The Lion King and watch Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast and all that kind of stuff
and see,
with the kids.
You have the built-in excuse because your kids want to watch it, so you can sit there and watch it.
Some of them you'll find yourself like keeping an eye on.
Yeah,
you know, especially ones if you haven't seen before.
Yeah, right.
Like I saw, like they had Moana 2 on the other day. I hadn't seen the second one yet. You'll just find yourself standing there and like paying attention for like you're like, what am I doing watching this movie for 3 minutes?
You,
like I got something to do. Like it's but
they
it's
got
funny.
You. I wasn't a fan of the Toy Stories after 2. I think they should have called it Toy Story 5. It's all about the money because that's what it was. But 1 and 2 are really good. My son, you know, we watched Cars when he was young all the time. He loved Lightning McQueen.
Yeah, Cars, yeah. That's a good one. Was it Toy Story 3 or 4 where he grew up? And
4 maybe?
Yeah, I think,
I think it was 4.
So the funny thing about that, I don't remember why. I think my mom just wanted to see it, and so we went. And I just remember it was like I'm sitting there trying not to cry because it's just like, you know, you grow up at some point in time.
Yeah.
But like, you know, that you got the toys got passed on and to another kid and all that stuff. And it was just, but you know, it was kind of like, that was my watching that movie was that reminder of, you grew up.
Let me ask you this. How much money do you think Toy Story 4 grossed at the box office?
$1 billion.
$1.1 billion.
Yeah, I believe it. isn't Toy Story the number one grossing animated film of all time or something like that?
It is not. It is a Chinese film that came out in January. It's already grossed 2.1 called Ni Zai. But American made Inside Out 2 is 1.7 billion. Frozen 2, 1.5 billion. The Super Mario Brothers movie, 1.4 billion, which makes me laugh. Somebody reviewed the Super Mario Brothers movie and said, they reviewed it and said, by the way, this is an animated movie, like a critic. I was like, oh, okay, thanks. I thought it was real, like there were two little Italian guys running around the world chasing, what's the guy's name, Bonzo?
I don't remember.
Super Mario.
Bowser.
Oh, Bowser. Yeah,
Bowser, that's it. But they had, she had to put it in like, oh, I'm reviewing an anime. I was like, okay, thank you. I didn't know that was animated. I appreciate you adding that on there for all that.
Can I just point something out for a second? They're showing all the global market teams, which I don't really understand exactly what that means in the NFL, but they were showing all of them on TV. The Titans were not anywhere. The Titans are not worldwide.
Right. Again, so who do you blame for that?
Probably the owner.
Yeah, right? And then we get people like, how can you blame the owner for all that? She's the owner.
Miss Amy is the best. I love Miss Amy. Two-tone till I die.
She's the – I mean, it's awful. It's all – there's that's a good point. They're not mentioned anywhere. They're nowhere to be found. Nothing. There's no talk about them. All right. So, I mean, that's how they've done things. The only talk the Tides have gotten in the last 3 years is how in the hell did you trade A.J. Brown? That's it.
Yeah. Animated movies that people like. Justin says, I'm a nerd. Andy grew up in Toy Story 3. So it was, okay, it was the third one. Tommy says, Hotel Transylvania.
Good one.
Four Movers, also a classic, is Space Jam. Oh, I mean, that's another half and half.
That's another good one.
That's a good one. Dylan says, gotta go classic with Pinocchio. The part where they turn into donkeys is super freaky.
I didn't see that one. I just know his nose grows.
Shrek 2 gets an answer. Team America is a good one. Lutz and Clarksville.
Ah, yes.
Not for children.
Oh.
Andrew from Dover wants to know, is Joe's Sausage Party?
Holy cow. Andrew, you're better than that.
Hair Metal Henry says, the first SpongeBob SquarePants movie. I still watch it.
Is that the one with Antonio Banderas in it, I think?
Maybe. Al says Finding Nemo. It's a good one. 4980 said Up. So there you go. Monsters, Inc. by Stephanie. A Goofy Movie. A Goofy Movie was funny. It was good.
Monsters, Inc. is really good.
Yeah, I like Monsters. Monsters, Inc. is Billy Crystal and
John Goodman.
And John Goodman, yeah. That's a funny one.
And then what? The act Steve Buscemi was the bad guy in it. Russell. Let's see, look at it, us.
Look who's called in. Our buddy Blair Durham has called in.
Yes.
With his favorite animated movie. What's up, Blair?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic.
I don't think I've spoken to Joe since he became a grandfather, so I want to start with saying congrats to you. I know how special that can be.
I appreciate you. You know, it's funny. I tell people when I held my granddaughter the first time, I wasn't emotional. It was completely overwhelming. That's how it was.
I can only imagine.
Thank you.
So, animated movie, you're welcome. Under the radar, but unbelievably powerful and moving for me and my family. I have an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old, was the movie Soul. S-O-U-L.
Not familiar with that one.
I think I vaguely remember that one.
It is so good. It follows this African-American jazz pianist who dies, and it's worth the watch. I don't want to give anything away because it really, even as an adult, I was like, all right, this one hits.
All right. Now you got me on it there, Blair. I'm going to watch this.
Good deal.
Awesome. Thanks for the call, Blair. Appreciate it.
You got it. Y'all take care. See
you. You too. That's it. Hey,
that's a newer one.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah, we have seen it. Okay. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it's just about, you know, some of your past regrets and that kind of stuff.
Oh, sure. This looks really, came out in 2020. Soul, this looks really good.
There are just so many to choose
Jamie
from.
Jamie Foxx voices the character. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Blair. Appreciate you, buddy.
As much as we love The Simpsons, and there was so much anticipation for finally doing a movie, which they did in 2007, I was underwhelmed, but at the same time, I knew I would be. Because I knew that you could never live up to that amount of hype, and it was out of its heyday at that point.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. Like, I don't think it's bad, but it's just like I knew it wasn't going to be what everybody hoped it would be.
I could see that. I liked it. I mean, it was... Was there one part, and I'm trying to think, that made me howl? Was it Bart naked?
Probably.
And it just made...
Bart's doodle.
Yeah. That just got to me. That was funny. No, and I think that's, you could be let down. I see that with all that, but it still made me laugh.
Yeah. I mean, there's...
Bart's doodle.
There are a few. And Mel, I think Mel Brooks is in it.
I don't remember.
I mean, it has a ton of the... There was actually one scene where... The dome collapses and everything, and it gets Dr. Nick, and he goes, bye, everybody. I just laughed.
Was that 2007?
Yeah.
Good Lord. Boy, yep. That's a long time. 18
and that
years.
Was the, I think, the 25th anniversary of The Simpsons when it came out, or 20th.
Because it came out in 88, 89 with Tracy Ullman's
show? Well, 87.
Okay.
We're the same age.
All right.
So, and then 89 was its own show. So, yeah, 20th anniversary. That's what
it
was.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Unbelievable. We'll have thanks for the participation there. We'll get back to that a little later in the show and have more coming in hour number two. Later on today, on 94.9 The Fan, tune in for Vandy Baseball as the Commodores host Western Kentucky. Pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.